Good afternoon, everyone. All of you like titles? The title is, What Does God Want You to Do? Many years ago, even before Mr. DeMora was assigned as the pastor here, a person was called by God to attend our Church of God assembly. After services, I asked this person what we could expect her again. Her reply has stayed with me all these years. The reply was, it all depends on what God wants me to do. From this answer, my perception was that in this person's mind, that God would not want her to do anything that would be inconvenient. After all, to attend our assembly here would mean a 160-mile round trip. And that's a long way. To attend would also mean possible conflict with her spouse. Maybe conflict on her job. After all, you got to make a living. Or conflict with friends and relatives. In her mind, or their mind, because there's many that have this opinion, certainly God would not want us to do any of these things. But my perception was correct. We never saw that person again. And as you know, it's happened over and over again. Scripture says, many are called, few are chosen. We've seen it happen so many times, and we've seen it happen very recently. Why? The seed did not fall on fertile soil. Let's read Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Mr. DeMora says, I'm getting there. Then he, that's Christ, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now for the meaning of these verses. Check verse 18. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. We've had a number of people that attended one service. I suppose they said, the cost is too high. I'm not coming back. Sometimes several weeks, but it doesn't last very long. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Perhaps they had to ask time off for a holy day or to attend the Feast of Tabernacles, and their boss said no. He just couldn't take that. Got to make a living. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. perhaps promotion in the job. The money is more important than seeking the kingdom of God. It has become apparent that no matter how much we welcome someone new, no matter what our example is, or whatever we say, if the seed didn't fall on fertile ground, it's not going to bear any fruit. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that I will paraphrase using words from the New England Version, in which God says, "Though I give them countless rules in writing, they count them as invalid. They don't apply to me." If they want to believe these instructions from God were meant for someone else at some other time, not for me. They believe that after all, God has given me a sense of what is right and wrong, and that I can follow the dictates of my heart. But what about us who have responded to the instructions that we have seen in God's Word of Truth, the Bible? And that those truths have been pointed out to us by His true ministers. I believe that I can safely say that all of us at one time or another have gone through the objections given to us by others to our response to God's instructions, and yet we have prevailed over those objections. We've also prevailed over attempts within the church itself, keeping in mind prior to 1995, to which I frankly state was a call to us, let us return to Egypt. Things were easier that way. We prevailed, and we didn't fall for it. That's why we're still here. Let's read 2 Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Since we're there, let's go on to chapter 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Christ Himself tells us that we are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Before I summarize what I've said, there's another area that has happened in the Church of God, and I believe it's wrong. Some have said that what God wants me to do is to be poor, to live in poverty. We've seen this. Someone who would not work. I once remember someone who was very proudful of his poverty, and he expressed this. I still remember another person who had had a hard time in his education financially. His answer to this other person was, "I've been there and I don't want to be there again." In Paul's writings, he said that he that shall not work shall not eat. In Peter's writings, he says that God wants us to prosper. So while poverty sometimes exists through no fault of the person themselves, it's not something to be proud of or what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to live in poverty when we have the means to work. So for us sitting here in the assembly of the Church of God, when we ask the question, what does God want us to do? Then the answer must be to study His instructions in the Bible. His instructions are what tells us what is right and wrong in God's eyes. We cannot let the dictates of our own heart determine what is right and wrong. And that's what the whole of humanity has done since the days of Adam and Eve. And we've seen the fruits of that over these 6,000 years. So again, what does God want us to do? Here's the bottom line. John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The scripture makes it very clear. God wants us to do what He instructs us to do.